Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, Apple's Best of 2014 awards are out. We're going to talk about some of our favorite apps.
The very best of the very best. Plus, what's the latest with Apple's CarPlay?
Yeah.
Google Play's limitations. Mm. And we're all going to...
Yeah?
You know what I'm going to say next.
I know, but we're going to wait till the show so that you're in suspense.
Yes.
We're also going to talk about computer programming. It's going to be awesome on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by SmartThings. SmartThings lets you control and monitor your home from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. To get started, visit smartthings.com/twit, and you'll save 10% off any home security or solution kit. But you got to use the offer code TWIT10 at checkout. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Jack Irwin. Jack Irwin sells men's shoes made from the finest materials at honest prices, and they ship them right to your door. Check out their shoe collections at jackirwin.com/twit. That's jackirwin.com/twit. IPT is H-E-R-E.
H-E, yeah, that's right.
Or I could say IPT is O-T-A.
Mm.
Hello, Sarah Lane.
Hello, Leah Laporte. It's funny, I was like, over the air? Oh, on the air.
On the air.
Yeah.
On the air, yeah.
I'm so used to OTA now being over the air, as in an antenna.
As in, or an update, yeah.
Or
yeah.
that, or an update.
Or an update, yeah.
An OTA iOS update, for example.
You had it. So this is the show where we talk about iPads, and it is today, so that means we're here in the right time.
Brian. Poor Brian. He tried.
So this is the show where we talk about iPads, and it is today, so we're here at the right time.
Brian back there on the deck.
He switched to, like, I don't know what he's doing.
He just, you know, sometimes he doesn't know what we're going to do. That's the thing about the show.
We rehearsed this carefully. He just didn't show up.
That's right, yeah.
This morning at 6 a.m., I was here rehearsing.
We had a whole, we called it a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
We walked through everything.
We were dressed, which is rare on the rehearsals.
I
was in full makeup.
It looks nice. Your makeup's looking a little stale now, but you know, you did get it done at 6 a.m., so you actually look very nice.
I'm wearing a jacket today because Monday, you know, is Triangulation Day.
And those are the big guns.
We're always interviewing CEOs, big thinkers and stuff, and I don't want them to think that I'm the same slob who does iPad Today. So I try to dress up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're stuck with it because I'm not going to change.
No. It's good. It just makes me look really casual.
You look great. Well, you always look good. I actually am trying to keep up with the lanes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a stylish bunch.
So they do this every year, right? Apple does. They pick the best apps of the year. They've done it. They just did it today.
That's right.
And it's stuff that, you know, I'm proud to say, and not the charts. But nice try, Brian.
Well, it's top everything.
The charts are what sold the best.
Well,
but
top
this
paid.
Is Apple's editorial choices.
Maybe
that's the key, that's the difference here. This is like their Academy Awards. You know, it's the difference between the Billboard charts, which were the best-selling songs of 2014, and the Grammy Award goes to the, you know, producer of the year or the song of the year. This is the Song of the Year Awards. The best, according to Apple's editorial folks, the best apps of 2014. And what I was about to say is I'm always very proud when we can show these, because almost always we've shown them as app caps.
Right.
We're pretty good at finding the best apps for you, I think. And there's very few of these that we haven't seen. I don't think we showed you Feign Glory, but Hitman Go, that was a great puzzle game. These are two new ones to me. So there are some new ones, and certainly anybody who uses an iPad, Star Walk, of course, we've talked about Goddess. I love that game. Anybody who has an iPad should go through this list and consider, you know, I have to say, Wolf Among Us is not for everybody.
Yeah.
But you might want to look at it just to see. Joy of Cooking we talked about quite extensively. Broken Age, that was the one we couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
Uh-huh.
But you know, by the way, an update on that. Whenever I install a game for iPad today, it gets installed on all my iPads, and Michael at home has one.
Mm-hmm.
He played through the whole game and loved it. So Michael's 11. So Broken Age, maybe that appeals more to a serious gamer than it did to us as casual gamers. Let me show you, though, the very number one, scroll all the way to the top, number one app of the year. And it's something that we have talked about before on Macintosh, is Pixelmator. This was always a very good choice. It's about $10 on iPad, $40 on the Mac. Always a very good low-cost alternative to Photoshop on the iMac. They released and showed this, by the way, Apple showed this at the iPad event in October. They released this for the iPad in October. And I have to say, it is fantastic. We'll just create a new image and give you a sense of kind of some of the things you can do. To understand totally, this is basically Photoshop-ish. It's a Photoshop-style app. Allows you to edit, modify photos. You could, of course, start with a blank page and draw on it as well. It has a lot of the features of little apps that you might, for instance, the collage.
Like Diptych.
Diptych, exactly.
There's one of those.
It has filters and frames. So we'll start with, I have to download the template. By the way, you notice very early on, I had to choose whether I was going to store my images here or use iCloud. And if you use iCloud, of course, then you'll have access to those images in Pixelmator on the desktop as
well.
So it's a very nice, let's add that image, or add an image. I could add an image to it. You know what? I think this image would be so much better.
If a lot of things were different.
I could just take a little bit of Sarah Lane in this image and put it into the other image. That would be really awesome. Paint and erase, retouch, adjust colors, which gives you a broad range of things, including a levels tool. So now you're starting to see some of these are some of the Photoshop style features that people really, really appreciate. This isn't a $10 app. You've even got curves here.
You know what's kind of neat about Pixelmator? Pixelmator or
Pixelmator?
Yeah, Pixelmator.
Pixelmator.
Which, by the way, I mean, this is Apple's number one iPad app of the year.
Of the year. This is the winner, folks.
Now, what Apple does, which is, you know, because you might be sitting at home saying, but what about my favorite game? Apple will actually put games in their own category. So, app of the year is never going to be a game because Apple understands that there are so many games that then there's number one game of
the
year.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just in case you were like, no, there's nothing so good. But Pixelmator is awesome. For example, I took this
Got some.
Yeah, I got
Show us, because I'm just
a photo.
Fooling around here.
Over Thanksgiving, I was up at my mom's house,
hanging out.
She's
beautiful.
Sitting there reading the paper, whatever.
That's a beautiful shot.
Well, you know, it's a little still life, right? And I can see after, you know, this, we got a little, hell you call those, sliding glass door. and there's a kind of like a funny,
you don't like that.
Yeah, there's something going on right there. I don't know what that is. So you actually have some kind of cool options, not just drawing, you know, paint across it, but a little retouch action. For example, once you get to the retouch area, this is where it actually becomes really fun. You can remove unwanted elements, lighten areas of an image, darken areas of an image. This is actually something I really like Snapseed for because you can selectively adjust a certain part of the image. Smudge, sharpen, soften, fix red eyes, the whole
thing.
This
is probably not as intuitive as Snapseed, but it has so much more power,
you know.
I think.
Now, what I'm doing right now is I'm kind of just trying to take out, that reflection that was weird. Now, I don't know why it doesn't. Okay, so I go ahead and say, repair. And done. Great. Now, if I were to say, I changed my mind. I'm going to, you know, let's get rid of that. Let's go back to how it was before. I can certainly do that, and you can see it's actually better after I repair it.
This is the retouch tool.
Yeah, it can be really helpful just for tiny little things that somehow take away from an image. And it's not the end of the world, but it's nice if they're not there. So you got a little post-processing. Like maybe that plant, I don't know, in the corner seems like it's, I don't know, let's darken it, right? So go ahead and just kind of darken that area there. It's like, you know, that's a a little shadow that you don't want to see in my mother's house type thing. It almost looks like I just painted the wall. I don't know. There's a lot going on here, actually. You've got layer options, as Leo mentioned.
If you want to see the layers, you swipe. I said swipe right, and you can see the. So you can add layers down here, which is really, really handy. Somebody's asking, does it work with Pixelmator on the desktop? Absolutely. So when you're using iCloud, you'll have the capability of taking that image and then reloading it, and the layers and everything will be visible on the desktop version of Pixelmator. This is, I would guess, you know, there's Photoshop Touch, there's Snapseed, there's a lot of editing. By the way, there's Brian actually working behind us. See, there's Sarah. We're right over here somewhere. I could just slide him off the screen like that. I would say this is the most capable, the best editor right now for the iPad. If you really want to do kind of desktop style editing, this is great. Pixelmator, $10.
It's a good one.
You're going to put yourself in there.
I put myself on my mom's body, and then I could just draw out the rest of this. Yeah.
And that would just be a picture of you, which is
the way
you wanted it all along, isn't it?
But with a weird something else going on. And you actually don't even have to be that precise. That's kind of why Pixelmator is so cool. Just go ahead and see what happens. Oh.
Best game of the year. I don't think anybody disagrees.
Oh, I see. I had to draw it out.
Duh. Just let Sarah continue to mess around.
Best game of the year, which is...
I don't think anybody disagrees. We think so.
Monument Valley.
This is the red level we were showing you early. If you haven't played this game, gosh, you've got to. It is a puzzle game. What's nice, when it first came out, people complained, oh, it was too easy. There weren't enough chapters. But what's been good is they've been adding more chapters as time goes by. And once you kind of learn the style of it, it's very... Listen to the music. They suggest you put on headphones while you're doing it. This is what I've always said an iPad game should be. Native to the iPad. Native to the touch interface. It really uses the iPad so well. We'll start at the beginning so it's a little bit more intuitive.
Remember how you had problems last time we did this, which was like a week ago?
Well, that's why I went to the beginning. So
I see.
There's control.
Yeah.
The product red is too hard for me. So the idea is we're trying to get Ida up here, but how do we get Ida up there? Well, we hold and rotate, huh? Maybe this isn't the game for me, huh? Now, by the way, that's very M.C. Escher, what just happened there, right? It works on a multiple levels. So you may say, well, there's no way if it's this that I'm going to be able to get Ida there. But what you don't maybe appreciate is the Escherian kind of geometry of Monument Valley. If you've not played this, you've got to. It's beautifully done. The music is great. Ida's fun. But most importantly, these are really lovely puzzles that get you to think out of the box, think in new ways spatially. And it's no getting a dinosaur egg across the world, but it's really a great playing game.
Was that some sort of a knock on Arriving HD, which I have not played, by the way, for like 3 years, and Leo still pretends like it's my favorite game. You know how I feel about dots. That's all I care about.
This is no dots either.
It's either dots or two dots.
This is no dots either, I gotta tell you. This is contemplative. Dots is like, you always complain that the games I show make you antsy.
That's correct.
Dots even makes me antsy because it's timed. This, I can take all the time in the world and just live in Ida's little world and think about things. There's little ladders and stairs.
What's wrong with my iPad?
Can't see where
man.
Ida's going. There we go.
What is wrong with you?
And she's going to get in there. Oh, but wait a minute. Something's happening. You thought you were done, but no, lo and behold, you're not.
I also find that you mentioned the word lovely. That has a lot to do with not just that Apple's going to, for its best of 2014, just choose games that are like visually stunning.
Well,
there are just so many of them.
They might.
That has a lot to do with it because Apple's kind of that company. They pride themselves on design.
All right, level two, and it's already too hard. I give up.
Yeah.
That's Monument Valley. She can walk on the sides of things. It's really quite fun. I love that game.
Or you could play something like Two Dots. Now this is very meditative.
That's not a winner.
How do you know?
It's not in the list.
You don't know. See?
That's the whole game?
Yep. I won.
Boy, that wasn't very challenging. Oh, now you're showing us the tutorial for dots. No, can't do diagonal. Yeah, thank you. Dots helped me.
I'm at 8.
Is this a winner?
I believe it is, actually.
Okay.
As far as, okay.
We never showed you Pixelmator on this show because it was brand new. It was a MacBreak weekly pick of the week. Renee Ritchie picked it. We have showed you Monument Valley, the game of the year. Runner up.
See, I'm a genius.
You just wanted an excuse to play dots.
That's right.
You really are addicted.
I love it.
Runner up for app of the year.
It's just so satisfying.
Another program, and I give you credit, Sarah Lane, for showing me this like a year ago when it first came out, is Storehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Love Storehouse.
Uh-huh.
You get stories. People, photographers, put their stories in here. I'm going to show you one of my stories, if I may, because I'll show you. It'll get this story gives you an example of the kinds of things you can have in there. This is a lot of people do recipes. It's called Making Muffins. So you take pictures, but you can put in text. You can put in movies. So I put in the text as the recipe. I also have, and with the iPhone, you can do slow motion, which is kind of fun. And you see, it makes a really, really great. By the way, Santa Claus was making those muffins. I don't know if you
noticed
that.
It's kind of gross when you whisk eggs in slow motion. Ugh.
All right. We'll go back home. Arctic Adventure in Kirlikfergahergliganskra.
I like how you called it making muffins, because in my house, making muffins is very different. It means
is that like a euphemism?
Well, it's a euphemism for when cats need.
They call that making muffins?
Yeah, well, that's what they call it at the SPCA.
So this is Russ's Arctic Adventure in Iceland. But what's neat is he's made this a journal, so with text. And these are, by the way, you can make these public. So what happens when you do these, this he's made public, is Storehouse might put it on the timeline. So Storehouse is great for browsing through. You don't have to be making stories. There's some really wonderful stories in here. And you can comment on them. You can reshare them. You can fave them. So it's a social network in and of itself. But you can also post your own. And it's very easy to create your own. And you see, I can see the people that you might want to follow on here. There's Veronica Belmont. Let me add her to it. Definitely going to add NASA to the mix. I bet there'll be some good stories. So it's its own social network, which makes it kind of fun as well. I love this. It's free. Storehouse was the runner-up for the app of the year. And should I show the runner-up for the game of the year? Because I have that one, too.
Yes.
It's not my favorite game. This is from Blizzard. People were very excited about it. It's a card game called Hearthstone. And I do know people who play this addictively. We showed it.
You were into it, I thought.
Well, it was an app cap.
Uh-huh.
If you played, Magic the Gathering or any of the other card games, you'll find this very familiar. It's a strategy card game with some characters from World of Warcraft, so you'll feel kind of at home. It's nicely done. I think it's quite gorgeous. And notice, by the way, as a convenience to people who will play this obsessively, they put the time and your battery level right on the screen so that you know
how long you've been wasting.
If your battery's going to survive.
A new challenger. It's Jaina Proudmoore, the mage.
The mage. I love her.
Who will accept this challenge?
So you get the idea. We're going to have a table here with cards to play. There's, just like Magic, there's cards with different powers. If you played Pokemon, there's so many card games like this. A lot of people love this. It's called Hearthstone. And it is free, which is nice. And it's got a little character in it, which is kind of fun.
Sure.
People love this game, I got to tell you. I'm not a turn-based game kind of guy, but
some minions to fight for me.
This is the tutorial, so.
Job's done.
A little tip of the hat. Job's done.
It almost has a little bit of Simpsons Tapped Out feel
Warcraft
to it.
Warcraft 1.
With the little sound effects.
At least he didn't play a card this turn.
It's just strange.
That's the tutorial.
You lose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, especially because many of you might be buying iPads for iPad for a loved one. Yeah. If for whatever reason you want to load up some apps on it beforehand, such a great place to start, even if you feel overwhelmed with all of the options in the App Store, because, yeah, it gives you a sense of what was really popular this year as far as stuff that people pay for versus free apps, what Apple thinks is the best. Obviously, Pixelmator got top billing. But it's a collection of a lot of good apps.
And the reason Apple does these editorial best of awards is because it shows off what makes the iPad unique.
Right.
And while not all of these are iPad only, which I'm pleased to see, because in the past, Apple's kind of preferred developers who say, I'm not going to develop for anybody else. But Monument Valley's available on Android. Storehouse is cross-platform as well. So it's nice that Apple has said, yeah, we'll honor the best, even if it's not exclusive to iOS. So this is, I think, a really good example of what makes an iPad a great tablet, is the range and quality of these four apps is really good. Best of 2014.
Best of 2014,
and
everybody.
And then there's Dots.
And then there's Dots, which actually wasn't even new. Two Dots was new this year.
How is Two Dots different than Dots?
It's a different game.
Oh, but it's also from Lauren Brichter? It's not even from the same guy.
I don't want to say that because I'm not sure. Offhand, let's look right now, Leo. Two Dots, one, two, dot, dot, dot. Let's look you up.
Well, Sarah
in the
is
app
trying
store.
To figure that out.
Play Dots Inc. No, different.
It's a different company.
Completely different.
Well, I guess you can't really copyright the notion of Dots.
Nope. Same people.
Same people.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep. So, Leo.
Yes, Sarah.
If only I were a little smarter, maybe I would not have these long, awkward pauses on the show all the time.
You need what's in my lap.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a
please tell me more.
Smart thing.
Oh, it's a smart thing.
It's
That's
a smart
exactly
thing.
What I need.
This is what you need.
A thing to be smarter.
This was a Kickstarter project a couple of years ago. They raised money to solve a fundamental problem in home automation. Nothing talks to anything else. You got your Zigbee. You got your, I can't even remember. There's so many. There's four or five protocols. They all are incompatible. You've got your Hughes, your Sonos. You've got your Wemos and your, you know, Schlages and your Quicksets. Well, this solves that problem. It talks to all of the above, your Dropcam, your Nest, your Wemo, your Schlage lock, your Quickset lock. And, of course, it talks to all the SmartThing doohickeys. And SmartThings is smart. They've been adding more and more little control devices. So now SmartThings basically is the home automation solution. You can control your home anywhere from your smartphone because they have free apps for iOS, for Android, and for Windows Phone. So you can, I mean, do things like, you get home, your garage door says, Leo's home, opens up, you go in, your favorite song is playing, and starting in 2015, SmartThings is going to integrate with the full range of Samsung appliances, so your stove could fire up, your refrigerator could, I don't know what your refrigerator could do. They even have Samsung's going to have a robotic vacuum that will work with SmartThings. This is so cool. It is the beginning of your smart home adventure. And it's the best way, can I tell you, having tried them all, it's the best way to begin with something that can talk to everything. I want you to go to smartthings.com/twit. You'll notice they have these solution kits that are a great way to get started because they give you an idea of the kinds of things you can do. Control and automate lights and small appliances even while you're at work. Get instant alerts to prevent a small leak from causing a major flood or your pipes from freezing. If you're a developer, you can even create new ways to use SmartThings and publish them for everyone to use. It's an ecosystem. And with SmartThing power outlets, you can even automate or control your Christmas tree lights or your holiday decorations. Turn on the singing Santa from work. SmartThings.com/twit. I want you to check it out. Visit the website. Learn about what you can do. Then get one of the kits. They have a variety of home security and home solution kits. Starting at $170, each kit includes a SmartThings hub with everything you'll need to turn your home into a smart home in as little as 15 minutes. I have tried them all. I've been trying to do home automation for 20 years. Seriously.
We're finally getting there,
I would
aren't
go
we?
Every year. I'd go to CES, and they would have a home automation pavilion. And I'd say, can you talk to him? No. Can he talk to you? No. Then SmartThings came out, and now the whole world is open. SmartThings.com/twit. This is the way to get started with your smart home.
So, Leo, you know how we were talking recently about that whole iPad program at LA Unified School District?
Ooh, the scandal continues.
It's getting weird. In fact, the latest is that school district officials at LA Unified had to turn over 20 boxes of documents earlier today to a federal grand jury subpoena for documents relating to this iPad project. And that is documents related to the bidding process. Remember, there was some talk that Apple had an unfair advantage because it was familiar with
somebody
people
knew
that were on
somebody.
The board over at
FBI
the school.
FBI has some questions.
Yeah. And, you know, this was the reason that it's getting so much attention is because it was a very large contract, yeah. $1.3 billion,
right.
I believe.
I think they wanted a $30 billion bond in the long run. It was a crazy amount. You're right. It was billions of dollars over 30 years.
Yeah.
And that was my big problem. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting every kid in the LA Unified School District an iPad. What could possibly go wrong with that? The problem is that the bond measure was a 30-year bond measure. You're paying for 30 years for technology that's going to last at best 3. And that seems like a false way to do things. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, this is clearly developing as we talk about it. It was a
and to be
this
fair,
whole thing went down last year.
An investigation is purely that. Nobody's been
right
indicted. Nobody's been charged. So it's merely an investigation. But yeah, just to keep you up to date on that story.
I don't know. If you thought that it doesn't get weirder than that, it certainly does. Are you familiar with a man named Paul Devine?
No.
Well, he used to work for Apple as a global supply manager.
He's in jail now.
He has been sentenced to a year in prison.
Yeah.
And a $4.5 million fine. For
what did he do?
Giving secrets to supply chain members.
Wow.
People in the, you know...
And I thought a $50 million fine was bad. That was what Apple put in its contract to suppliers. You leak something, for each leak, you have to pay $50 million. They don't mention jail time. A year in prison for Paul Devine. Wow. What was his title?
Oh,
chief?
Devine. I said Devine.
Yeah, that's what I
recognize. He was the Apple Global Supply Manager. One of them, anyway.
Global Operations Manager. No,
convicted of wire fraud,
Apple.
Conspiracy, money laundering.
That's kind of sad. I mean, look, this guy
Apple
went to MIT.
Components, secrets to suppliers.
He went to Sloan.
Well, you know, just because you go to a nice school does not mean that you do the right thing. Maybe that's what we've all learned from this little exercise.
I'm going to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens. You see, this happens. He had a problem of some kind. And he needed money. And he said, you know, he saw no way out. Because... I don't think that's you would naturally just go to that because, hey, I can make some money selling some secrets here. I think there's some other larger issue, don't you think?
Well, I think a lot of people...
you get involved in gambling or something and you need money and Tony Soprano's coming at you.
There's also something called greed
that
sometimes
too.
People have for no good reason at all. So I don't know, Paul, what's going on with you, but you...
Wow.
It's not good.
Wow.
A year in prison. I mean, the $1 million fine, $4 million fine. It's like I don't know how I would.
They're
pay
probably
that.
Trying to
but
recoup the loss.
Prison. Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Yeah, but you know, he's going to go to tennis prison. He's not going to go to real prison. He's going to go to tennis prison, right?
What does that mean? He plays tennis in prison?
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like Wolf of Wall Street type situation.
Yeah, there's prison and there's prison.
And then there's prison for people
and,
who just did a little money laundering.
Yeah, for the white collar criminal.
Paul.
Just send him to tennis prison.
Come on, Paul.
His game a year from now, his game is going to be so good. Backhand all fixed up.
Do people really play tennis in prison? That sounds silly. I understand that there's like exercise opportunities for people in prison. I've just never seen a tennis court, at least not in the movies.
You saw it in Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, but that movie was ridiculous. I really didn't like that movie.
It's minimum security prison, federal prison, generally for nonviolent offenders, usually white collar criminals.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of it? I've forgotten the name.
Oh, there's actually talking about a specific prison.
I ain't making it up.
Is it the one that they went to in Goodfellas?
Maybe.
Remember where Paul can slice the garlic so thin that it just liquefies in the pan?
That was real prison, but those guys had juice.
Oh.
They put him in a big room and they said, make some gravy.
Yeah, have a good time.
Yeah.
It's great. You're going to love it.
But no, I think that I'm trying to remember the name of the
The federal prison, minimum security. Oh, someone's got...
I think it's in California, actually.
Someone will figure it
just
out.
Just up the road a piece. I think my tennis pro went there.
Oh, okay. Jason Heiner over at Tech Republic wrote a really great look back on what he calls the remarkable odyssey of Bill Fernandez.
I'm in this book.
You are?
I am.
How is that possible?
So we love Jason. Jason, of course, from Tech Republic's on Twitter all the time. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to do a different kind of book. The book is going to feature innovators, entrepreneurs, creators. And they're doing, I did a long, wasn't long for me, but a long interview with him and his co-author. They're looking at more than just what Bill did, but his history, his story, his childhood. It's really going to be great. And they're not publishing it in a traditional way. They're publishing it a chapter at a time, kind of as a serial.
Oh, well, that's...
So this is the first part.
That's all the rage, you know.
Oh, I know.
Episodic.
Yeah.
Unleashing of material. Listen, I know, I think, quite a bit about Apple, and when I saw the story earlier today, I thought, Bill Fernandez
never heard of him. Oh, yeah. Well, he's very early.
He's certainly overshadowed by other players in the Apple.
He was a solder monkey. He wasn't...
Solder monkey? Is that what you call them now?
I just made that up.
It's kind of... But still,
he was building it, wire wrapping it. He was a very early employee.
Yeah, like
there he is.
I mean, kind of like employee number one, really. If you don't count Jobs and Wozniak.
I think this is why it's a great first chapter, because this is a little known contributor to the Apple story.
Yeah,
and it's a great story. Bill's a great guy.
I'm sure he has a lot of contributions that he should get. Not notified for. He should be...
Notoriety?
Notoriety for. I'm telling you.
You should receive...
It's going.
His props.
Yes. Give Bill props. Mr. Fernandez did a lot for Apple, and we should not forget him. Mm-hmm. What we should also not forget is how to test ourselves for our knowledge of the English language. Now, you wonder where I'm going with this, but this is actually... This is actually an app the folks at Duolingo. We've talked about Duolingo
before.
Love
Duolingo.
Helps you learn languages. Now, and this is also something. I learned a lot of stuff today.
I want to take this test.
Well, you don't need to because you're okay with English.
Oh, this is for ESL, English as a Second Language?
Yeah, so there's actually a certification test. Let's just go to sample questions and just get a sense of what I would need to know. There is a test that I guess a lot of tendency here. Oh, I see. I don't know if I have the audio here. Do you hear that, Brian?
She is not old.
She?
Well, I think that's would be a yes. She's young. She's not old. Oh, this is to grasp whether you heard it and can write it.
This is a dog.
Then whether you read it and can say it.
Oh, this is great. Select the real English words in this list.
Shampoo is not
walk,
a real...
both, may.
Watern,
easy bag.
Shampoo.
Fine, good.
Shampoo.
All that stuff's bad. Mm-hmm. Tim Duncan.
I know Tim Duncan.
Has two older sisters. Like their younger brother, they are...
So this is actually very much like the... intermediate tests you take when you do Duolingo for another language, but this is just the test part so that you can verify your command of English. I think that's great.
Trisha swam for
Sarah,
this version.
You don't have to take the test.
Is it that I like these?
We know you can speak English.
So the idea is that I guess on for a variety of jobs, you have to basically pay for... You have to prove that you have a certain amount of English comprehension.
Yes.
And there is a particular test that a lot of prospective employers expect you to take, and it's like $2,000. Or
So does this this kind of replace that?
Yes.
An employer could use
That's exactly right. Duolingo's like, listen,
That's great.
This is legit. This is a $20 situation if you want to go through the actual certification. The app itself is free.
Nice.
But yeah, you'll end up having to pay some money if you want something certified. But significantly less than you would otherwise. So if it's anything that you're either familiar with or you've heard people talk about it or whatever, Duolingo Test Center is the name of the app. It's new in the App Store. So even if you're familiar with Duolingo, this one's completely new. And if you're like me and you like to take tests that are extremely easy that you know that you'll do well on to feel good about excelling, then you could just pretend that you need to get a certification and test your English skills. I was having a good time.
You like taking a test that you know you can ace.
That's right. Because then I somehow am
able
to...
Makes you feel good.
Yeah, like I'm pretty smart. I'm doing pretty well.
What are there other subjects that you feel like if I were to take a test in this, I would ace it?
Yeah, like some of the like, you know, math stuff.
Star Wars? Trivia? No.
Yeah, I think
pretty
so.
Good? Oh, I know what you'd ace.
What?
A Game of Thrones test.
That I would do well.
You'd do very well.
Yes.
Because maybe people don't know this because we haven't talked about it in a while, but not only will she watch it the first time, but she'll rewatch.
You have to.
Several times.
You have to.
You want to catch every nuance.
And, yeah, and you know, somebody will be like, oh, his name's Rob. And you're like, well, there's like 40 Robs that are main characters on the show, so let me keep it all straight.
Next year, can I watch it sitting next to you? Because that's me. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
And then I would love it if you could say, oh, that's his uncle. Yeah. He was a pretender to the throne, and then he killed the old king.
Yeah.
And now he's living in
Westeros
with the old queen.
Yeah. And there's like 90 old queens.
I want to sit next to you next season.
Come
Do you mind?
Come on over. Yeah.
I'm coming over. I'll bring some bean dip.
Starts back up in the spring, I believe. Sorry. Bean dip? Oh, yes, please. I love bean dip.
Who knew? A way to a woman's heart is through bean dip.
Well, what you do is you get the bean dip, and then you melt some cheese on the top.
Oh, you're talking two-layer bean dip.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking multi-layer bean dip. On top of the cheese, do a little sour cream.
Three layers now.
Cilantro.
Ooh.
Salsa.
Ooh.
You got yourself a party.
You can't even taste the beans.
Thought a lot about this. Yeah, the beans are... That's
a substrate.
It's almost not the point, really, after a while. Hey, we got a question from Tony. I thought that this would be good for you, Leo, because I know you like Google Play Music.
Okay.
Tony says, I'm a U.S. citizen, but I live in Singapore. Hello, Tony. I really like Google Play Music, and the free music videos are a nice touch. But any idea why the iPad app isn't native? It's an iPhone version. Tony says, apparently there's an iPad UI in the app itself, and that's actually true. The folks over at iMore found the same thing. He says, why do companies hold back on things like this? Because I feel cheated.
I agree. Well, I agree. At least you can use the iPhone app on the iPad. I mean, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also, when you see something like this, it shows
but
that...
you have to do it this way. And you
it
know,
shows that,
not...
that Google's working on an iPad version,
right.
Let's hope. A bit so of a
it's in the code?
There. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is, by the way, this is kind of nice. This is, again, Google Play Music All Access. And remember, they bought Songza, which we liked a lot when it was out. This was the idea that instead of doing a Pandora-style playlist around artists, you would do it around moods. So this is the holidays. See, this is so much of a better way for me to get some Christmas music on here. Moving Christmas performances, classical, acoustic, relaxing, a Christmas concert, spectacular. And then within that, these are the radio stations. And you can have, you know, do you hear what I... So here's my deal. I love this one.
Really?
Yeah, this is my favorite song. Like you for Dots, Carol of the Bells is for me. Christmas is here, everybody cheer. All right, the point is that this works just fine. It just doesn't use the space properly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you're right, Google should do an iPad version. I don't know why they don't, but this isn't unusual. Remember, you loved RDO because they had such a nice iPad edition, and I'm sitting and looking at the iPhone version of Spotify for the longest darn time,
That's
right?
true. Yeah, so in fact, that was actually why my allegiance was with RDO, because I appreciated the fact that there was a native app that was so nice for the iPad. There are so that was also a few years ago. I think we've gotten to the point now where a company the size of Google's that has universal apps, it's not as if they don't support the iPad.
You know,
why
Google,
they wouldn't just throw out something?
I think people think of Google as a giant company. It's really a very small company. There's just a handful of people.
A handful of thousands of them.
They're working
in
as
every
hard
country.
As they can. You get one
How
of those
people
who pretends to work for you in Ireland to write the damn thing, right? You got about 800 people just sitting there in Ireland not doing anything, so you could put all your money there. Right. Have them write an iPad app, would you, for Google All Access?
Yeah, come
That's
on.
All I ask.
I mean, what are you doing, Google?
I think it is imminent. I think we know it's imminent, and I don't know why they have taken their time.
It seems less and less. You know, it used to be, small team, developers.
Google, you're right. It's plenty big enough.
It's one of those companies.
No excuse.
I don't know, Tony. They have no excuse, but hopefully, at least from seeing that there is a reference to an iPad UI, that it's on its way.
I could make one guess.
Okay.
Which is on Android, it's not as critical that you make a tablet app or a phone app. Android is designed so that the app will because there's so many screen sizes,
mm-hmm.
will rearrange itself appropriately no matter what the screen size. So this distinction between tablet and phone is less important in the Android world. And obviously, Apple made the choice that there would be iPad apps and there would be iPhone apps, and they wouldn't... You could make a universal app, but they're very separate, very different things. I think that's the correct choice in the sense that the apps are designed specifically for certain screen resolutions. It's becoming a less clear choice now that the Apple has so many different size screens. It's getting a little less clear. But I think that Google... It may be Google's little shot at Apple saying, well, you don't need to do that on Android. You just use the phone app will resize itself appropriately. I don't know. But it is Apple's way. You need to make separate iPad layouts and iPhone layouts. You could put them in the same universal app, but you need to do that.
So I went to I'm in a monthly potluck group. We meet once a month and we have a potluck. And last night was our annual holiday potluck, where everybody gets a little bit more dressed up. We do a white elephant gift exchange.
I saw you did very well in the white elephant.
I'm actually really excited
you
with what
got
I walked
some,
away with.
That was that condoms or makeup?
Cosmetics.
Okay.
Yes.
What was it? There was Vulture.
There was Vice.
See, when I looked at that,
there was
at
Naked
first,
and there was Perversion.
You could see why I thought condoms or makeup.
I wouldn't post a. This was an. He's referring to my Instagram account and like.
Can you show Brian Burnett, Instagram.com/SarahLane.
If I would have opened up the... Anyway, it's basically...
You can
just
see my confusion.
It's really nice makeup.
That first picture right there.
Yeah, there. See, that's makeup.
Condoms or makeup?
That doesn't look like condoms. It looks like album covers. Anyway, that's what I walked away with. It was stolen from me, and then I got to steal it.
Veronica was very jealous that you got naked.
Well, she's not jealous. She got the same one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Look at that.
Basically, the
only
way.
Look at the commenters on here. Veronica Belmont, Eileen Rivera. I don't know who Nigel UK's 1962 is.
I don't know.
I don't think he wears makeup. But we know your three friends there.
Yeah, I only have three.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at the potluck last night, I had to,
That's a good night out, white elephant, by the way.
We take it pretty seriously.
Somebody's asking. That's not really a white elephant party. So somebody's saying, what is a white elephant party? This is the best fun you've ever had.
Oh, it's really fun.
Do some people not do that? Apparently, some people don't know. What you do is you save the worst thing you got all year.
No.
See, you do it differently. This is wrong, what you do.
It's not wrong.
You do good
it's
gifts.
Better.
You do good gifts.
We have a $50 cap.
People
so,
buy things for this?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a white elephant. That's a gift exchange. It's a very different thing.
We call it, I don't know why we call it that.
Even the name white elephant implies that it is something you don't want.
I would want a white elephant.
Well, that's the fun part is a really great white elephant is just like the strangest, weirdest.
You're totally right.
I was at a white elephant party where there was a hamster.
The idea...
Wrapped up in a cage.
The idea...
So you put all the presents in the middle of the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you draw lots.
Yeah.
And the first, number one, gets to choose, picks any present.
And then number two gets to steal number one.
And then number two can steal from number one or pick a new present.
That's right. And the way, at least, that my group plays it is that it can only be stolen twice.
Right. So you have to do that otherwise.
Third recipient, it dies with. So, for example, I was number two. I chose the makeup. I was like, yeah, awesome. Number three steals my makeup. Number four does something else. No. Number four steals the gift that I got after number three stole my makeup from me.
You can see how this gets fun.
Then I basically get to choose again.
And
I'm like, give me my makeup
back. You can take it back.
Because there was a beat in between.
Yeah.
And then it died with me.
But they can't steal again. That's a very important rule because I've been in a white elephant where they didn't have that rule.
Well, it would never end.
It goes all night.
Yeah. It's
fun. And you end up with fist fights.
But the whole reason I'm even telling this not very interesting story is that for the, because it's a potluck, you know, somebody hosts, but everybody has like an assignment. And I had this big vegetable assignment. And you know why I killed it with my green beans?
Why?
Is because I learned a new recipe from Blue Apron. I made the same green bean. Yeah. I made the same green bean recipe last night.
What was the secret ingredient?
Earlier in the week? Maitake mushrooms.
Oh.
Because you wouldn't think of those.
You wouldn't think of them. Are those the little ones or this?
No, they kind of look like oyster mushrooms.
Yeah.
They're somewhere between oyster and shiitake. And they have a really nice kind of earthy taste. And you just do a little saute. You blanch the green beans, throw it all together with some garlic and onion. Oh, and thyme. And you're good to go.
And you know what's great?
It was a hit.
You didn't have to buy the mushrooms. You didn't have to buy the garlic. You didn't have to buy the onions. You didn't have to buy the thyme. Because Blue Apron does the shopping for you. So if you like to cook, but who has time to do two parts of the cooking, the meal planning and the shopping?
Hate it.
You know, going through the cookbooks, finding the recipes, then going out, getting all the ingredients. It's not that I hate it. I like doing that. But if I didn't have a job, it would be a lot easier. So Blue Apron solves this by doing the meal planning for you, putting together recipes often from celebrity chefs. Is that a maitake? No. Often from celebrity chefs. I had the pork and congee that I made was from a winner of the Iron Chef contest. She has her own restaurant in New York. It was amazing. So you get these recipes. They're on beautiful, heavy cardstock, so you're going to save them forever.
Yeah, I liked mine.
The refrigerated box comes, and by the way, the shipping is paid for. And you get every ingredient and just the right amount to cook two meals. Now, the cost of this is $9.99 per person per meal. And the box is refrigerated. The ingredients are very fresh. They all come from local farms. You're going to get produce that's not only fresh but in season at the peak of its flavor. And the recipe, in fact, go to blueapron.com/twit to see what the... Because every week it changes. You'll never get the same recipe twice. So the selection is really great.
How
many of these have you made now?
I mean, I've had two boxes that I brought home and three meals each, and I've made every single one
of them.
Great,
and
I've eaten all of it. I have thrown
anything
nothing
you didn't
away.
Like?
No, there's nothing that I haven't liked, even though there were a couple recipes, like I said, on paper I go, green beans and maitake mushrooms, I don't know. That sounds a little odd, and it's so good. But I just never would have made, like, even if I had time to go to the store, I still wouldn't have just never thought of putting those ingredients together, so I'm actually learning.
Right.
I'm learning to cook with a little help from my friends.
I think that's kind of, and by the way, that's where the name comes from. The Blue Apron is what the apprentice chefs in the best cordon bleu schools in Paris would wear is a blue apron. So I think that's exactly what it is you're learning to be a great cook. And those recipes you're going to use again and again because you've done it once already.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it much easier the next time. You understand what's involved. It's easy to shop for the ingredients. Meals like ground chicken fettuccine chestnut pasta with honey.
Perfect.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
Tempura acorn squash tacos. Now, preparation on none of these, it's about half an hour. You never have to, we're not talking you're going to spend the rest of the day cooking. Shipping is always free. You're never going to get the same recipe twice. Meals are about 500 to 700 calories a serving. I mean, we're not going crazy. Although you've told me that you often have leftovers from your Blue Apron.
There was a lamb butternut squash soup that I made recently.
You were supposed to bring it to
I know, because I had a ton left over. Mm-hmm. That was, the recipe call, it says, it's two servings. You know, you make the whole thing, and then you put it in two bowls, and you're good to go.
Right.
I easily ate five bowls. Not at once.
Right.
Although I'm capable of that as well. But no, there we go, lower left. That's it.
Lamb and butternut squash soup.
It was absolutely delightful, and it honestly lasted me for about 3 days.
The meat is fresh. It comes fresh packed. It's not frozen.
Right.
There's fish, too, salmon, and because they ship it so quickly and it's so fresh, it always is just right. It's really, I think this is a really great company with a unique idea that I love. BlueApron.com/twit. There are two meals waiting for you free if you go to BlueApron.com/twit. That's pretty good. At least do that, would you? And see how you like it.
Yeah.
All the packing materials are recyclable, by the way. Don't worry about that. BlueApron.com/twit. And I saved the ice gel. They don't put, they pack it with those ice gels. I freeze those. Those are really good to have. Sprains or cooler chests, they're really good. It's like blue ice, you know, that whatever that is.
It's, well, you know, you we're all going to holiday get-togethers, right? You might have to have, like, a cooler of something because you're going to be on the road for a couple of hours.
Perfect for coolers.
Very good. Yeah, and I'm glad you told me about that because I had actually thrown away the first batch, and the second batch I kept.
Yeah, keep them.
You know, when you have a black eye and you need some ice, it's perfect.
It's my favorite part of Bridesmaids. Where
black
she says
eyes.
You should put some frozen peas on that tattoo. It looks infected. So she, instead of putting the bag of frozen peas on the tattoo, she opens the peas and starts spilling them on the. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. It's such a strange. That's such a strange part of the plot. It doesn't.
I love that couple, the brother and sister who throw her out of their apartment.
But it's like I just don't even know why it's in the movie.
It has nothing to do with the movie because that's how. This stuff is all of these, all of Tina Fey's movies. It's sketch comedy.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out.
It's not even Tina Fey.
Or whatever. Amy Poehler. Who's in that?
No, it's the other one.
The other one.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. They're all the same.
Kristen Wiig's the funniest.
She's good.
She's
you know,
very funny.
But you can't, wait a minute.
I would marry her.
30 Rock?
No, I mean, Tina Fey's also very funny, but
okay.
Kristen Wiig's the funniest.
The funniest is saying a lot.
Well, she is. She's like maybe the funniest person who's ever even been on Saturday Night Live. And I don't want to hear it because you know I'm right. So let's.
Maya Rudolph.
Also funny. She was in Bridesmaids as
well. Very funny. Time for the Wanna Magazine party.
Did you spike your coffee this morning
yes.
or what? A little Irish coffee, winky winky. Hey, we got an email from Charles. He lives in Kentucky. And he says that he subscribes to our video podcast on Apple TV's podcast channel. Excellent. That's actually a good option. We don't really talk about that very much, but it's certainly an easy way to subscribe to podcasts. And video podcasts like ours, perfect for the Apple TV. Charles says, I just wanted to chime in and let you know that I have LastPass as my password manager, and I subscribe to Premium to use the app for $12 a year. Safari now has an extension for LastPass where I can log in and then fill in my passwords via Safari instead of going to the app when I'm purchasing something or forgetting what my unique password is for security that I'm just not going to remember anyway. Does that make sense to you? Because I don't actually currently use LastPass. One password is the one that I went with.
I don't know how. He's talking about iPad?
He's talking
how can you do a Safari plugin on the iPad?
I think that he's not doing that on the iPad.
Oh, he's talking about the Macintosh.
He's basically saying, you know, that for anybody who thinks, oh, yeah, it's some app that I've got to have on one of my machines, that you have other options. If you subscribe to the premium version, which gives you things like plugins. Yeah, you can't. There is no plugin for mobile Safari on iOS.
I think so. So there's a bookmarklet. So we do like LastPass. On Android, LastPass will fill in the forms on at both apps and websites for you, because in Android you can give an application the ability to do that. You cannot do that in iOS, so there are various workarounds. But, you know, I don't find it so difficult to either use the LastPass keyboard. I don't know if they have that now on iOS. That would be cool. Or just to go to LastPass, copy the password, then go back to your app or your website and paste it in.
Mm-hmm.
I find that easy to do. And if you're on a desktop, it's no problem. Desktops allow that, of course.
Here is a question that I thought you might know the answer to because you have a lot of native music. I do not because I stream almost everything now.
Mm.
Seth from Ohio says, here's what I want to do. I want to make a playlist, but only have music exclusive to that playlist. I don't want that music to show up in my normal library. An example, having a Christmas music playlist so that when July rolls around, I don't have jingle bells when I go and shuffle through my music collection.
I know what he's talking about.
I know what he's talking about. I just don't know the answer.
I was talking about the last question.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to the last question.
I'm about 30 seconds behind.
Oh, okay. That's fine. As long as just keep up.
I was just thinking about this. There is, you can in this, I'm in Safari in LastPass. Let's go to a site that needs a login, facebook.com. And if you go to a site and you need a login, you press the share thing and you can add LastPass, you see, to the share button. And then I'm not going to do it, obviously. I have a PIN code to protect this, so even if you got my iPad, you wouldn't be able to do this.
Right.
But if I enter the PIN code, then it will paste the... That's what he's talking about. I apologize. Now, on to the playlist.
So basically, what Seth wants is And I understand exactly what you're saying, Seth, because he has a collection of music and he just wants to listen to it regularly, maybe on shuffle, mm-hmm. right? And he just doesn't ever want the Christmas music to be played outside of the specific playlist.
I know exactly how he feels.
Well, I don't know the answer, because if you have a playlist, all you're really doing is creating shortcuts to music that exists in your library.
Right.
So
playlist doesn't exist on its own.
I mean, you could almost basically put your music collection into a playlist without the Christmas music, but it's very counterproductive.
Well, that's one way is, yeah, playlists. Don't play stuff from the backwards whole library. Play playlists.
Yeah.
And make sure there's no music, Christmas music in your playlist.
Yeah.
Here's what, you want to know what I do? What? I delete my Christmas music on December 31st every year. But I pay for iTunes Match. So every year, I type in genre holiday or Christmas, or actually holiday usually works, and delete everything that is of the holiday genre. I delete it from my library. I never hear it for the rest of the year. That does not delete it. That does not delete the playlist because it's still in iTunes Match.
Yes.
And then come usually November 20th, 25th, I'll go back in my library. I'll say holiday again, and I'll have those little clouds with the downward arrow. Select all, right-click, download. Downloads all my holiday music is back. Playlists work again. That's all. That's the only way I can think of doing it. The other way to do it is, and actually I have to say, now with streaming music, you don't need holiday music anymore. Just do it. You saw the songs of playlist. You can use iTunes Radio or any of these things and just listen to it that way.
That's sort of, not that I want to be dismissive, Seth, but that's kind of what I think about every time I get a question like this. I think streaming music just makes it so much easier because then you don't have to worry about rearranging everything in your library.
But I have been where he is, because the problem is you want holiday music, and I have probably several hundred holiday cuts. I will have Christmas music play all through December in the house. I love it. But it kind of pollutes your playlist. You don't want to, in the middle of July here, Charlie Brown Christmas, or Carol of the Bells. It just kind of doesn't work. So I understand. I'm with him. I've gone through this. That's my solution is, but you need to pay for iTunes Match. I think that's worth having anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you match all those songs before you delete them. Once they're all matched in iTunes Match, and you can delete them and bring them back next year.
Yeah, it's like when you accidentally or change your mind on an app that you delete, but you've downloaded it before, and you get that little cloud icon. Same idea.
Right.
Apple says, we know that you already had this, so we're just going to go ahead and make it easier for you to get it
again. It's the only way I can think of it.
All right, we got an email from Ken. Lots of questions this week, which is great. Love to have all of your questions, and we answer as many as possible. Ken lives in Rancho Santa Margarita, California. I don't know where that is.
Santa Barbara area, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or L.A.?
Rancho Santa Margarita. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's nice.
It sounds very nice. Anything rancho.
Yeah, if it's got the word rancho.
You usually figure it's, you know.
That's why the little slaughterhouse down the street here called themselves Rancho Meats until they got closed by the USDA. They figured that sounded good. You know what the new name is? They've reopened.
Just Meats?
Happy Day Meats. See, that's good, too.
Happy Day Meats?
Yeah, it's where they kill the cows for beef.
Oh.
Not a happy day for the cow.
Yeah, really. Happy for whom? Anyway, Ken says, which vehicles, and I'm talking make and model, currently have or will have, at least in 2015, compatibility with Apple CarPlay. I'm very confused. I know that this is probably more, you know, in relation to iPhones, but it's good information, especially for somebody like me whose car lease is up next year. And will CarPlay even work off an iPad for that matter? Thanks and happy holidays. You know, this is actually a great question. My lease is up this year as well.
So
in a few short months, I'm going to have to make some big decisions about what my next car is.
You can, in fact, go to apple.com/iOS/CarPlay and see which makes are supported. The neat thing about CarPlay, the whole idea of CarPlay is, by the way, it doesn't work with an iPad. You have to have an iPhone. I'm sorry.
That's annoying. But don't you think that will change?
Mm-mm.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would Apple possibly
say, very clear,
if you're an Android phone user,
iPhone experience.
Well, I think that they do that just because they know that more people will have.
I don't think they're going to make it an iPad.
So you're telling me that if the only iOS device that someone has is an iPad, screw them, they're out of luck, can't use CarPlay?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Because it has to do with making calls and all of that. Anyway, the idea is this, you know, if you've got a car now, and you do, that has a screen and has its own car computer, they call this telematics, by the way, has its own system. The car has a computer, the car has software, and so forth. But car manufacturers have quickly realized that the cars do not update as fast as technology does. So with the way CarPlay works, and Android has a solution that's similar, is in effect, this is your iPhone screen specially done. It's not your iPhone sitting there. The iPhone is connected via Bluetooth, but the car itself has the capability of displaying appropriate icons. But when you type maps or tap messages, that's going to the phone. The phone's going to do the work, not the car. So the car is essentially a second screen for your iPhone. Now, I think this is a great solution. As you can see, there's going to be a lot of different ways to implement it, some with knobs, some with dials, some with push buttons, some with tapping. This is the lineup. So all you have to do is go to apple.com/iOS/CarPlay. You can see which manufacturers will support it. But even then, when you go to buy the car, let's say you're going to get a Honda Civic, because I know you're, you know, you don't like that Mercedes too much for you these days.
You know, I've had three Honda Civics, so I've got no problem with a Ford.
Mercedes is on the list, baby.
Good.
You know who's not? Ford. Actually, no, Ford is. I think there are a couple of manufacturers, but all the big ones will. But remember, that's going to be model specific, just as it is right now with the telematics in your car. Mm-hmm. That may be an additional optional feature, or may not be available in a particular model. So you should not only check the manufacturer, but when you go to lease the car or buy the car, you should say, will this car support CarPlay?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's
one more thing.
Okay.
If it doesn't, you can add it. Uh-huh. Because both Alpine and Pioneer are offering CarPlay head ends that you could put in an existing car.
There you go.
So you don't have to have it. It does require these iPhone models, a 5 to a 6 Plus. 4 does not work. 4S does not work. You have to have a 5 or greater.
Boy, my 6 Plus was quite the hit at my...
Look at the size of that thing.
At my annual holiday potluck.
All the girls want to see it?
Well, see, I'm the tech person of that group.
Right.
Everybody's super cool and smart and nice, everything,
but they're just not.
Nobody works in tech except me. Well,
you've said this before. They don't even know what you do. They don't really understand it.
Once in a while, someone will ask me, and I'm like, I don't think you don't. You have no idea what I do, but that's okay. But yes, this was the only iPhone 6 Plus at the group of there were like 20 of us, and everybody had to touch it, and everybody went, but where do you put it? And I was like,
are you
telling me you have purses that are smaller than this?
Yeah. It would fit in a clutch.
It works out just fine. A clutch, exactly. Yeah. Hey, while we were talking about CarPlay, someone in chat, and sorry, it scrolled past, so I don't have your name, said that in iTunes, for our friend who wants to hide his Christmas music, if you click on a song or collections of songs, you can go to Get Info, and then you can say, do not play on shuffle. So that would be...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, if you can batch, highlight a block of songs, you can basically just say, I don't ever want this on shuffle, and I think that might solve your problem.
If you always use shuffle, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah,
there you
can do that.
Yeah, if you don't use shuffle, put all your Christmas music in one place and just
never
listen to everything
there.
Else in order.
Right, put it at the bottom.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay, we got an email from Rich in Westbury, New York. Hello, Rich. He says... And this is in response to us kind of saying, hey, iPad sales, growth is slowing. Not really that sales are slowing, but growth is slowing. Who needs a new iPad? What kind of iPad model do we think you have to be living with in order to recommend going out and getting one of the new models? Because, as we said, if you've got an iPad Air, it's probably fine, you know, unless you really, really want a new model. Anyway, Rich says... I think fewer people are buying iPads because they already have one that's supported. Remember, Apple sold the iPad 2 instead of the iPad 3 and 4 up until about two weeks before they announced that growth was slowing.
Well, and they still say sell an iPad mini without Retina, and that's basically an iPad 2. So even now they sell an iPad 2 kind of thing.
Yeah. Rich says, if you're an average iPad user, you bought an iPad 2, maybe you're browsing the Apple store, thinking of getting a new iPad... But then you notice they still sell the one that you have, so it can't be that bad, right, Rich? I think that's actually a good point. He says, I think next year we're going to see more growth from Apple on all fronts. iOS 7 brought the end of the A3 processor. iOS 8 brought the end of the A4 processor. iOS 9 probably be the end of the A5. There are a lot of A5 processors out there and will need to be replaced. That includes the iPhone 4S, the newest Apple TV, the newest iPod Touch, iPad 2, iPad 3, iPad Mini. There are a lot of iPads that are going to need to be replaced. He says, I won't get into how, if Apple announces an app store for the Apple TV next year, that no one with current generation Apple TVs will get it. Well, I mean, we keep waiting for them to announce something that's Apple TV related.
This is the year of Apple TV, I think. 2015,
I see. Okay. I hope you're right.
No, I think we'll see a new Apple TV, and I think there'll be finally an app store, and I think that's going to change everything. They need to.
They definitely do, even though I use my Apple TV daily. I'm really only in a few different apps.
Roku's beating them.
Yeah. Because the Apple TV, because they update the apps that you get on your Apple TV automatically, and every time I open it up, I'm like, okay, I've got now like Fox News.
People ask me all the time, why isn't Twit on Apple TV? I don't have any control over that, because the only people who put apps on the Apple TV are Apple.
Yeah.
If they have an app store, then we can make a Twit app that you could go to an app store and get. That's how Roku works.
But why can't we get in there if the Wall Street Journal can get their videos onto Apple TV?
You have to make a deal with Apple.
Why don't we do that?
Well, I'll go call somebody.
Do that. Call Fernandez. You know him.
Bill?
Yeah.
You have to be a big player.
Hold the speech to the fire.
Apple is a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And they do not
want to play ball.
Yeah.
Well, if you do go knocking on Apple's door, let's say you take a stroll down to One Infinite Loop in Cupertino, California.
I'll be wearing some good shoes when I do it.
I was going to say, because you don't want to walk in there like some
loafers.
Schlub who doesn't think that good shoes make an outfit.
Don't wear the tenny runners.
No.
Wear some nice shoes. Hey, maybe I'll wear these. What do you think of these boots?
I love them. I would wear them myself. But they're obviously men's shoes.
How much do you think I paid for those boots?
Those, if I were to buy them down on one of the Shishi shops, I would say, I don't know.
Well, before you say anything, let me tell you, the leather is from Italy or France. Mm. They're handmade in Spain by artisans. Leather uppers and lowers, everything it's all leather. Hand sewn. They are super comfortable. They are top of the line, beautifully made shoes. There's no corners cut here. You know, sometimes I get shoes and they have really thin soles because they just cut some corners. These are leather soles. They're beautifully made. Now, how much would you pay?
$1,400.
No, really?
Well, you sold this.
I did
well.
Sell you.
You should open up a shoe store.
How about $195?
What?
Yeah, I know. JackIrwin.com/twit. The idea is by selling direct to you, Jack Irwin eliminates the overhead of having a brick-and-mortar store in every town. And you'll spend a lot less than you would spend for this quality shoe at a fancy shoe store. They do have a fitting room in the Tribeca area of New York City. But, on Hubert Street. But you can also get them online. And I want to tell you, these are beautiful shoes. Look at these loafers. These are my Jack Irwin loafers. Just gorgeous. Here, I'll take the stuffing out of them. By the way, they come with a shoe bag for travel. They come with a couple of extra liners so that you can keep them fresh. Look at the beautiful handcrafted leather. Spanish artisans cobble these together. It's all hand sewn. Guys, if you want to up your game, shoes for almost all of you is the first place you should start. Most of us are still wearing sneakers. And as your lady will tell you, it ain't the way to impress. And if you don't have a lady, well, now you know why.
Right. It's your shoe. You have a shoe problem.
You have a shoe problem.
And really, even for anybody who says, listen, I'm just not really a dressy shoes kind of a guy.
You need them for
some occasions.
There's
always an occasion. This is the time of year where, last night I had to get dressed up and go to my potluck, and you're going to have to do the same thing. You know, put a little effort into it.
Actually, these were $220. I see there the Carter wingtip.
That's a crazy deal.
Aren't they gorgeous?
Yeah.
Look at them.
Yeah. I mean, basically,
you pay three to four times as much.
Basically,
at any store.
All the guys I know are, they're paying literally hundreds of dollars down the toilet.
That's when I knew Kevin Rose was doing well as he started wearing nice shoes.
Mm.
You just know. To get the right fit, you have to remember Jack Irwin's are cut a full size big, so if you're a size 10, purchase a size 9. Subtract one full size. They cut them one size big. You're just going to look so sharp. And by the way, good shoes last a lot longer. They don't fall apart. They don't come apart. They're super comfortable. If you've never had a good pair of shoes, now's the time. JackIrwin.com/twit, and you'll see my holiday picks there for these gorgeous shoes. I love them. Just beautifully made. JackIrwin.com/twit.
Well, aren't you a sailor?
I think when I wear this, I look like either the skipper in Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
No, buddy.
You actually look lovely.
I look lovely?
Yeah, I feel like the hat really completes this whole thing. You got nice shoes on.
I got good shoes and I got a good hat. It doesn't matter.
You look like you could run a ferry with ease. I'm trying to think of a kind of boat.
Would you like to join me at the captain's table?
Yes, I would love to. I would love to. I would like to have the crab.
Actually, you look like Nemo. You look like what we're going to be having for dinner.
Well, that's what we're going to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
At the captain's.
You're not coming to the captain's table as a guest.
No, I'm going to be devoured. It's not really how I thought it was just going to go. This is the part of the show where Leo and I wear funny hats. We call them app caps, and we each pick an app that we think is worth your time.
And, Sarah,
yes,
it's what's for dinner.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I look like Ernest Borgnine.
I don't know who that is.
That is from the show Mikhail's Navy, right?
I don't know.
Right.
That is correct, sir.
You, Brian Burnett, do not remember Mikhail's Navy.
I don't remember it.
I do.
Is that like Hogan's Heroes type of an era?
Well, he was a PT boat skipper in the World War II era, just after, in a beautiful tropical area.
Was it a sitcom?
It was a sitcom. It was great.
Yeah? Okay.
Mikhail's Navy. And Ernest Borgnine, of course, one of our great actors, passed away just recently, about a year ago.
Oh, well, so this is an homage to Mikhail.
I kind of look like Ernest Borgnine.
And his fairies.
Some people say Captain Meryl Steubing. But I think Ernest Borgnine.
Who any of these people are.
Oh, you know who Captain Steubing is. You watched Love Boat, didn't you?
No, no.
Oh, my God, you're so young.
Well, I wasn't allowed to. It was adult stuff.
Wait a minute. You're telling me Linnell was strict?
Well, you know what it was? If something was on, like, past 8:30,
It was Saturday night, too.
Oh, yeah.
You had dates.
No, I was, like, 3. I was asleep. No, they didn't want me watching shows where there was kissing and, you know, all that.
Our Bird
kind of
One says I look like the Tidy Bowl Man.
That, too.
You could be
so many people right now. Thank goodness you're just you. Hey, so my theme... Or my pick, rather, for this is it is an app, except that it came from a really cool theme that's in the App Store right now called the Hour of Code. And one of the nice things about...
this is a yearly thing, the Hour of Code,
exactly.
Which I really like. Yeah,
yeah, it's
get
hand-picked collection
code.
Of apps, not just apps, but books, some podcasts, even courses that are at iTunes University, iTunes U, that can help any of us get started with either, you know, a very basic understanding of computer science, or maybe you're already, you know, you kind of know what you're talking about, and you want to brush up on coding, right? And this is celebrating code.org's Hour of Code initiative, which is a worldwide thing. So as you can see, you've got, you know, Python for kids. So it really does aim to cover a lot of different age ranges. You've got apps here. There is a nice apps for kid area.
Hey, the lynda.com's right there.
Yep, there you go.
Udacity.
And we do get a lot of questions each week of, hey, you know.
There's Tinker.
What apps are...
Mike Elgin's son works there, Tinker.
Oh, yeah? I think I knew
Yeah,
that.
It was an app cap. Remember, that's a program that teaches kids
right.
how to program. It's
that's,
such a great program. We love Tinker.
Right. At iTunes U, you've got collections, introduction to programming, battle code programming, competition.
This is neat.
STEM concept videos. Yeah. But of all of these apps, where did I end up? And that was something that we've talked about, but not recently, and that's Khan Academy.
Khan Academy.
Oops. Open up here.
Crash Academy.
Crash Academy.
There we go.
It was like that. That was a very difficult equation.
Salman
there.
Khan, I think, is going to go down in history as one of the great humanitarians.
Khan Academy, think of this as basically like you've enrolled in a bunch of courses that you don't have to pay anybody for. So you've got new and noteworthy math, science, economics, test prep. But I mentioned computing, so we'll just go into computing. You've got computer programming, computer science, Hour of Code. Let's go into computer science. Would you like to do a little bit of a deep dive on algorithms?
Sure.
Journey into cryptography, for example. How about information theory? Let's go with algorithms. That sounds fun. How about recursive algorithms? Okay. And then what you've got here is very well designed. You can see that you've got, you know, a variety of basically like chapters that you're going to get through. And you start just, getting through the concepts. You can jump around if you're just looking to read about things that interest you.
Oh, the Sierpinski gasket.
Now, see, I don't know anything about
that. That was the pilot episode of Star Trek, wasn't it? The Sierpinski gasket?
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, that's kind of cool. This is all, you know, this is, of course, computer science and math are so, you're such a Sometimes I'm trying to think of what I'm talking about, and so I just agree with you.
I throw the hell out.
And then you snicker at me, and then I'm like, oh, look, you got me. But yeah, so again, if you're interested in, I don't know, games and visualizations, right?
Con.
Then you can, let's talk about getting into some 3D shapes here, creating 3D shapes. So this is, it's very, there's a lot of meat in here. These are, they're courses, really. Think of them as courses, not unlike what you could get at iTunes U, but it is very specific. It's very math and science related. There are also helps, if you want to.
He's really broadened this.
Particular test.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're going to have to take the GMAT at some point. You better start studying.
The GMAT? What do I have to take? What's that for? The graduate school applications?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Or GSAT? GMAT?
No, GMAT. No. I think that's for going to graduate school.
I stopped at my,
I stopped at the high school level.
No, you didn't. Oh, yeah, you did.
I have a couple of years of college.
We didn't stop at high school.
Didn't stop.
You just never got a high school or college.
Got any farther than that.
What did I get?
I got my captain's license.
What do I have? I have a degree.
And I drive a ferry.
Bachelor's degree. God, I couldn't even.
You don't even
of
know.
It.
See, I know what I don't have. You don't even know what you have.
I know what I have. I forget words a lot.
I found out that when you're running a ferry from Richmond to San Francisco, you don't really need a bachelor's degree.
You only need to take the GMAT.
You just need a hat.
You don't need a bachelor's degree for any of this, in fact. Mm. Look at Leo. He took some Chinese courses and said,
and then I said, screw
I'm
it,
out.
I'm going to be a
I don't want to do this
cap.
Anymore. I'm just going to talk about things with very few qualifications. On any paper that you could then frame and put in your office is all I was going to say. You didn't let me finish the end of my sentence. Okay, so that is my APCAP. It's Khan Academy, K-H-A-N Academy.
You know, that's a great APCAP.
It is.
We could say that over and over. Everybody should know about this. It's anybody can learn from it. It's really aimed at high school kids mostly, but it's just great. It's just great.
It does. Yeah, it covers a variety of levels. I thought that it was a good little tie-in to Hour of Code, which is that collection is live in the App Store right now. If you want to peruse some of the other options,
you know what I'm learning for the Hour of Code?
What?
I'm learning Go, the Go language. That's Google's new web language. Well, it's not that new. It's a few years old, but the web programming language, Go. It's fun. I like Go. So.
Yeah.
I got two apps. Is that okay? They're related. Of course, you probably saw the story because it's our old friend Ryan Block who did it along with his buddy and founder of Gadget and Engadget, Peter Rojas. They have a new messaging app. This is from the AOL labs that Ryan and Peter head. I guess the idea is they're kind of like a little skunk works, 20 programmers out there doing mobile apps. This is the first one. It's called Pip. Remember Yo?
Yo
is an app that all it did was send a yo to your friend. Pips are a little more sophisticated. And actually, I think this actually might be really useful. It's somewhere between Yo, Poke, that kind of thing, where all it does is go, hey, and a full text messaging app, which is really, you know, you got to type in stuff. I could just say, let me send Sarah my weather. Actually, I can only do it to Tom Merritt. So, there's Sarah. And I'm going to allow access to location. And now Tom's going to say, why did Leo tell me it's cloudy in Pengrove? I can. These are the messages. There's only a few. Is Pip. There's call me. I'm running late, of course. Now, what's nice about running late is you can say, I'm running 30 minutes late. I'll tell you that. Sarah, I'm running 30 minutes late, and we've pipped her. I could just pip, right? Pip Tom. He's going to really wonder, what is Leo? Is Leo messing with me?
This is
my favorite one, though. And in fact, Ryan reports this is the most popular one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that thing? So at first I looked at that and then what the hell are they talking about? Then I realized that if you're a couple.
There's context.
Like,
yeah.
Remember to call DMV for me and get something.
Right.
And we've already got that established. So if I send you a message.
I know what you mean.
Listen, Tom. Did you do that thing? He's gonna, and that's why he has that disgruntled look on his face. You can also, now this is nice, you can say where I am. So this is useful as well, and it's gonna churn for a little bit. And I could either say, and this was pretty smart, actually. I'm impressed what it did. You know, it's funny, it did not use AOL's own location database. It uses Foursquare for this. So if it's in Foursquare, it will find it. It did the address, which is actually slightly inaccurate, the town, or right here, and then I can also search. I think this is really great. Of course, there is a drawback. The person that you're pipping has to have pip, too. So it's a messenger, and that's the negative, I think. It's like WhatsApp or some other messenger, Facebook Messenger, but both sides have to have it. Oh, look, I pipped myself.
Oh, there you go. You know, there's a very common question that somebody just asked in the chat room, and that's, well, can't you just text these things to each other? Why would you need an app?
It takes a longer time.
And Ryan Block, who created this app for AOL, actually, I talked to him about that, and he said, well, you know, sometimes there are a variety of things that you end up, especially if it's a partner or, you know, a husband or wife or a best friend or somebody that you see and talk to all the time, you tend to kind of say the same things over and over.
This would cover 90% of the cases.
Exactly. Because many times you just want to, like, for example, I have to pick up some cookies for a baby shower on Thursday. I know this because my friend Trish has been bugging me about it for like 2 weeks now.
Did you do that thing?
If
would work.
She said, did you do that thing? I know that's what she's talking about. That would be an easy little button for her to press.
But I hear you when you're saying it's kind of constrained. It's kind of limited. It doesn't do everything I might want to do. So that's why I have two, not one. Okay. So this is a little bit more than Yo, a little bit less than text messaging or WhatsApp. This one... YB, it's called. This comes from Aaron Paul. Remember him?
Yeah, he was Jesse Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. What was Jesse Pinkman's commonly used phrase? He liked that phrase, yo.
He likes female dogs.
So this is, I think, inspired. It's called yo. And I just sent you.
Okay.
Well, we can. You're going to have to bloop it.
Look, I got a push notification from Chief.
That's my name.
That's you.
And
that says.
Now, by the way, it's not.
I feel good about this. You
it's
said,
not just text.
Biatch?
It's not just text. It's going to say it in Aaron Paul's voice.
Oh, it is.
So this is also cool about it. And I think this is where Aaron has got some go. Go ahead. I don't know why it's so low. We can't figure this out. The level on this is very low. It comes with some free phrases. So you don't just say yo bitch. You could say yo bitch in three different emotional tenors. Yo bitch annoyed. Yo bitch excited. Or yo bitch whisper. Those are free, okay? But there's more. Let's say you know a French bitch.
Yeah, you could say, I know a few of them.
Bonjour. 99 cents. greet your friends at the beginning and end of every day. How about the very cultured?
Good evening.
Now, I don't know. I think this is good. This is kind of deep philosophical questions. The Socrates pack.
How big? Nope. Now. Who?
Well, they've really thought of everything.
Everything. So if you felt like Pip wasn't really complete enough, this is my favorite.
You serious? Oh, I'm serious.
Oh, I'm serious as a heart attack, Jesse. Mr. Pinkman.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got here? The exclamata pack.
Okay.
Sometimes you need a little...
Booyah!
Booyah! Booyah. Or... Yeah, I like Jesse. He's an actor. He's given it some feeling.
He's awesome.
This is More is More, Cool, Later, Oops, Psst, Stop, Ugh, Whoa.
Yuck.
But I think the most important one is the romance, the love.
Oh, yeah.
Pack. So these are the kinds of things, if you were dating Jesse Pinkman, he might say to you. Come over.
Or.
I love you. I need you.
To me, though.
That is Valentine's Day in a nutshell.
Honey, hold out. Hold out, because if you're lucky, Jesse will say.
Will you marry me?
Now, what do you say?
Yeah, man.
99 cents for those extra packs. I think worth every penny. I think to get this on the App Store, they had to call it YB. And it just came out today. Aaron Paul, Jesse Pinkman. This is his bid for immortality in the post-Breaking Bad world.
You know, I don't always think that pointless apps are a good use of anyone's time. For this, I feel that we're all better because it's in the App Store. This is stupid.
Don't get
me wrong, but sometimes we all need a good laugh.
Yankee Bravo.
And I would also like Aaron Paul to ask me to marry him. He just got married to somebody else.
Did
though.
He?
Yeah, some really pretty girl who's like a philanthropist.
You know, he's just going to be playing Xbox all day anyway.
Exactly. We know that's exactly what you're like, Jesse. You'll always be Jesse to me.
I want to see Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul do a remake of Gilligan's Island.
You do? I don't think that I do want that.
Just saying.
I love you, Aaron Paul. Thank you for making the App Store just a little bit brighter. And that does it for this episode of iPad Today. Ending on a high note, as usual. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening. Sorry, I'm getting all scratchy. I was doing some karaoke on Saturday night.
Were you?
Things got a little out of
What'd
control.
You sing?
Well, I sang it all. But I did.
Really? They let you sing more than one song?
Well, you get a private room. So then it's just you and your friends.
You were all alone.
I wasn't alone. There were probably about six of us.
Okay.
And it was really fun. But yeah,
what was your favorite song?
The song.
Hey, I'm the captain. Would you like to be Tennille? And we could sing, Love. Love will keep us together.
Oh, that's before my
time.
Keep us together.
Think of me, babe, whenever love comes around. How about.
What?
I'm trying to think of another one. What's that song about chipmunk love? Was it chipmunk love? Muskrat love.
What?
Muskrat love.
I don't know.
Brian Burnett, we're going to wrap up the show. Would you play us out with a little Captain Tennille and Muskrat love?
Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. iPad Today, we record this show live on Mondays right after regulation at 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to write us, you can do so at iPadToday@twit.tv. If you want to find any of our past episodes, subscribe to the show, or anything else that's really, really fun, like show notes, that's twit.tv/IPT. And I am Sarah Lane. He's Leo Lepore. We got no shame. Hope you enjoyed the show. And Brian, kick it.
Ow!